three women in three cities representing three utterly different identities of a country. They all hold a Turkish passport, they all pay taxes to the same government. And yet, meeting them on my travels from one side of the country to the other, as I have done in the past fortnight, has revealed to me a nation that is more diverse and more divided than any other I know. First is Pinar Pinzuti from Izmir on Turkey's western coast, its secular heartland. A stronghold of the centre-left, this relaxed European city is awash with beachfront bars, pumping out Turkish rock and local beer. We talk on two wheels, Pinar leading Izmir's all-women cycling group. In brightly coloured skirts and T-shirts, some with flowers in their hair, they pedal along the seafront, celebrating their female identity. The government insists we should stay at home and have three children, she tells me, as I struggle to keep up. But we say we don't need to live in shame to cover our legs and bodies. Come on, she laughs, we can do it, we're empowered. An hour's flight east and a fast train south, I meet Kubra Bülbül, a final year medical student in Konya. One of Turkey's most conservative religious cities, Konya is where this government polls highest. Minarets pepper the skyline, competing calls to prayer echo louder than any I've heard in Turkey. Kubra, like most women here, dons a headscarf and a long coat as we talk over tea in the old town. It's very simple, she says. Before, I wasn't allowed to study because headscarves were banned. I was forced to apply for university out of Turkey. But then this government came in, encouraged our religious identity, and I feel free. This is empowerment. Just 20 years ago, you couldn't have travelled safely to Diyarbakir in Turkey's southeast. Consumed by the conflict between the Kurds and the Turkish state, it was constantly under emergency rule and curfew. But now it's a largely peaceful place, which looks likely to vote en masse in this election for the pro-Kurdish political party, the HDP. It's on the verge of crossing the threshold to enter parliament for the first time. Taking refuge from the midday sun, I chat to 76-year-old Dilşah Özgen. Her three children were killed in the 30-year insurgency. Once a week she comes together with other women who lost husbands, brothers and sons. The Turkish state bombed my home four times, she tells me, years of struggle etched on her face. They're barbaric, but now we have our party, the HDP, and we feel represented, empowered. Her kindly face lights up. We will drown the president in our flood of votes, she chuckles. United by one word, empowerment. It is what everyone in this country looks for and finds in different political leaders. The secularists, the conservatives, the Kurds, how multifaceted modern Turkey is, and what a challenge for any government to appeal to all sides. It is hard to think of a leader in Turkish history able to unite his people. On the contrary, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, now seeking a strong majority for the governing AK party, is often labelled the great polariser. Saturating politics with religion, he's adored by his conservative Islamic power base for giving them a voice and transforming Turkey's economy, but reviled by the left, who accuse him of eroding democracy, muzzling free speech, and burning bridges with the West. Even though he's now supposed to stand above politics as President of the Republic, he's turned countless speeches into election rallies, hardening his rhetoric each time. Journalists, Armenians and gays are representatives of sedition, is his latest swipe, designed to please his core supporters. He doesn't much like the media. The BBC, CNN and the New York Times are seeking to weaken and divide Turkey, he bellowed in a recent interview. And then there is the Kurdish leader, Selahattin Demirtas, sometimes called Turkey's Obama for his charisma and oratory, though viewed with suspicion by many Turks, doubtful that the Kurds can ever really renounce violence. If his party, the HDP, enters parliament, it could deprive the government of a majority. And so it's built up a headwind of support, not just from Kurds, but also from leftists keen on its human rights focus and staunch Erdogan opponents voting tactically. If it gets in, Diyarbakir will erupt in celebration. If it fails, the eruption could be far darker. Turkey is as undefinable as it is important. The West's great ally in a volatile Middle East, its influence spreads far. This election is the most unpredictable in a generation, perhaps unsurprising for the complex mosaic that is modern Turkey.